Welcome to Change Noon Chat, episode 2 of the new podcast. Today I'm with entrepreneur, Grip Socks founder, all-round sportsman, Adam Joji. How you doing, pal? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good yourself.
See, you've got the giggles. How's life been, okay?
Good. Yeah, life's been good, to be honest. Yeah, so far so good. Everything's on the right track.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So,
what about yourself?
Yeah, good. All good. We're going to start with straight into the product, really. Probably the main part of why you're on today, Grip Socks.
Mm-hmm.
How's it came about? Where's it started? You see, it's a very popular item nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it come from for you to start the business, to see that market? And just talk to me just in general about the product.
Well, going back years and years, I've always had that sort of business mind to me. I've just never actually put it into action. With Grip Socks, it actually started on paint.
Was it okay?
So, The letter, GRPZ was just drawn into paint, and then essentially you see where the brand's come since then. It mainly came from a problem that I noticed with the socks on the market. They either use rubber grips on the inside or rubber grips on the outside. And then you get your market leaders, which were just like 40 quid a pop. And how often you need grip socks, you can't be affording to pay that. Like every 3 months or something along the lines of that. Obviously depends on how often you play your sports. And then you also get your bottom end products, which just use grips on the outside. So we thought we'd find like a happy medium.
Yeah.
So we use fabric felt grips on the inside and then rubber grips on the outside, because it all came from trying to solve a problem for myself, and took a few samples. Probably, I think it was about 15 samples I went through until I got it right. And then I was like, oh my God, this actually works.
Yeah.
Like, this is really good.
Yeah.
So then decided to turn it to a business. So kind of combined passion with a product, and essentially Grips was born. Grip Sports was born. So that's basically the whole shebang. That's where I'm here today.
So at what point did you think I could do this?
Mm-hmm.
Was it early? Was it quite early on you thought, or was it like you said, you kind of started it for your own problems? Mm-hmm. At what point did you start thinking I could make this big?
I wouldn't say it was at the very start.
No,
I did start a few businesses. So I've been through your Amazon, doing stuff on Amazon here and there.
Yeah.
So all that was going on in the background while I was trying to get this product essentially right.
Yeah.
And then once it became right, I was like, I've actually found a happy medium here. I can sell a premium product for an affordable price, which is essentially what everyone wants. So yeah, I would say about, probably when I started using the product, that's when I realized I was actually onto something. Got suggestions from people around me.
Yep.
So the chairman of my football club and the manager of my football club. And they told me that you're onto a winner here.
Yeah.
Spoke to the Business Gateway. And again, they said to me, you're onto something here. So since then, decided to put the plan into action, made a business plan.
Yeah.
Had a whole business proposal, and you see where the brand is today.
So how long did it take from like, starting what you thought, I can make this, to actually going on the market? How long did that take altogether?
Mm-hmm. It's around 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, around Jesus. 2 years.
And is that from your idea, or was that when you actually first got the socks?
So the two-year point, I would say, was from when I first drew GRPZ on paint to where the brand is now.
Yeah. So being honest completely with everything, did you think that it would be successful now, as like when you first started, did you think it would be as successful as it is now?
Well, to answer your question truthfully, in a way, but I did know that it was going to take a lot of work to go behind it.
Yeah.
You know the person I am. I want something. If I really want something, I will do everything in my power to make it happen.
Yeah.
To have the current partnerships we have, I wouldn't say I didn't see it coming. It's just, it was a little bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But you know what, like, as the first one comes, the next one's a bit anticlimactic, as they say.
Yeah.
But at the very start, I did not see the brand being where it is today. I think what's propelled us so far is, it's dead obvious and everyone knows we're not just trying to punt a product. We actually want to build a community of people.
Yeah.
Essentially, people who consistently thrive to improve their competitive performances. The whole idea of the brand is to, as you see on the review cards that come in every package, we do this to aid your performance, we do this to give you full control, and we do this to inspire athletes. So the whole brand is focused on the athlete and trying to support the athlete in becoming a better athlete, and you never know. Some of those athletes will go pro, some of them will stay semi-pro, but again, it's down to the athlete to get themselves the way they want to get to. All we can do is assist them in their journey.
But on that, the first big one I seen and majority of people seen was the Livingston partnership.
Yeah, big, baby.
Big smile on your face. So how did that come about? Did that come about from just you being brave to approaching them? Did they approach you? Like, where did that come from? Because that's an unbelievable partnership for the first one.
Thank you. So Livingston, believe it or not, they were probably, to give you a guesstimate, probably between 20 and 30, number 20 and 30 on the email list.
Yeah.
We were in touch with Fulham. Fulham said no due to their Adidas and Nike or Puma partnerships, whatever they've got just now. We're in touch with Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace was just a dead.
Yeah.
It's not something that we do, unfortunately. But with Livingston, it was going since March in the start of the year. That sounds like a long time ago now. But Livingston started in March. I got in touch with their CEO, probably like to say, Dave Black.
Yeah.
Genuinely one of the nicest guys I've met. Dave is an unbelievable guy.
Yeah.
Started off as looking to sponsor one of their players, and then I sort of was like to him, we've actually got this product, would you be interested in it?
Yeah.
So then we sent them over samples, and Dave came back with some feedback that the players think what you've got is great.
Yeah.
He then, the conversation was going, we were back and forth for email for months, and then he said, would you want to support like our youth academy and by buying season tickets and here and there? And then I went back and said, it's not something we'd look to do, but what I can do is supply your team with, your team with grip socks for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
He was delighted with that, over the moon.
Yeah.
And in return, what he did for me essentially is he gave us all these social media shout outs, wrote an article, and the way that's helped the brand is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And to have our first SBL partnerships, again, something that separates us from the competitors. We are trusted by your top level teams, not just the players, but actually trusted by the top level teams, which again shows you that we are onto something here. We're doing something right.
So like on that, for people that are listening that like want to try a business, want to be, do you think, I get the impression it's just about being brave and asking people and backing yourself. Would you agree with that? Or
a mixture of being brave and not caring what people think. I personally, through my teens, I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. I would still say to this day, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But something about me is I know how to get the job done.
Yeah.
And I will utilize all the tools that I need to get the job done.
Yeah.
Be brave. Also be resilient. Read books. Yeah. Study. And be willing to put in the work when others aren't willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
If it was easy, everyone would do it. It just takes resilience and hard work. And you're going to get knocked back. And it is a case of just picking yourself up and going again. It's like anything, sports, for example.
Yeah.
You lose a game, you don't go into the next game being like, oh my God, we lost the last game. Let's dwell on it. No, you go, you dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and then you go again.
Yeah.
That's what it's like with business. But in terms of business, what I would recommend to people is just go for it. Like, don't care what other people think. Someone's going to speak about you regardless. Just do what you want to do in life. If that's your passion, just go for it.
Yeah. I feel like a big one that my dad's always taught me, that like asking people stuff, he always says the worst they can say is no.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's the kind of approach that you've been brave with. You've thought, fuck it. The worst thing someone's going to say is not interested or ignore you. And that's the worst that can happen to you.
Most definitely. It comes with a combination of humbleness and confidence as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to be too overconfident, but you don't want to be confident enough that you won't send out that email. When I'm sending out emails, I do it with no shame in the world. Like, honestly, I'm like, oh, I'll just type it up, send. I don't even usually hesitate. I'll just read it through, send. The worst that can happen, as you say, is they say no or they don't reply.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Grip Socks going to go? Where, how far can you take it?
I would say it's going to go global. We're already in the works. I'm actually just at a meeting about 2 hours ago with one of their shipping partners. We're going to take it to Australia and USA. I might hope I don't get in trouble for spilling the beans, but but yeah, we want to go global. One thing I've noticed, not a lot comes out of Scotland, so unless it's like your engineering companies, your oil and gas companies. But look at England, they've got all these YouTubers, all these singers.
Yeah.
Just people who aren't following the status quo. So with Gripsocks, we wanted to sort of be like a Gymshark of Scotland, like your go-to brand, and we're already on the way there. As we previously mentioned, being trusted by your SBL clubs, yeah, like so your Livingston, we do intend to be the supplier for all the SBL clubs,
yeah,
and then move on to the Championship and just essentially be the trusted sportswear brand of Scotland.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's not just for people listening, it's not just people either, is it?
No, like, not at all. So yeah, boxing, rugby,
yeah,
golf, the feedback we've had from people from other sports is, it's all the same. Wow.
Yeah.
They didn't actually realize that they needed it until they actually used it.
Yeah.
That's the whole wow factor of Gripsocks. You don't realize how much you need it until you actually use it,
yeah,
which is something that I absolutely love. The only problem is once you use it, there's no going back.
Yeah, you're going to keep using it. Uh-huh. So you obviously said at the start of the pod that it was finding the socks for you and the stuff. But so for people listening, it was football you started with, wasn't it? That mm-hmm. was your main sport.
Yeah.
Cove Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? Enjoy it?
Yeah. Well, that's probably the closest I've been to playing professional youth. So
yeah,
I would definitely say, yeah, I most definitely enjoyed playing for Cove. The facilities, the coaches, the way we got treated.
Yeah.
Just representing the badge, essentially. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Was it always football you played when you were younger?
Yeah, so I honestly couldn't tell you how long I've played football for, but just
always been.
Yeah, for my whole life, it's been Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah,
it's as far back as my memory goes, to be honest.
And going back, I know we're going to go on the career, but touching back to the business side of it, just being in football for that long, do you think that's helped the Gripsocks side of it with the people you know, contacts? Do you think that's subconsciously helped you career in your business?
Well, most definitely. Referring back to what I said for individuals who want to start their own business, find something you're passionate about. I made the mistake of just trying to start a business with something that I didn't really care about, with products I didn't really care about.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. But the fact that I would say I'm really passionate about grip sports.
Yeah, yeah.
It just helps it so much more. I enjoy every minute of it. I have to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
Until I have to wake up and go to work. But yeah, most definitely, being in football from such a young age has definitely, definitely, definitely helped the brand.
So where did the Cove thing come from? Like, where did you get spotted? Was it playing boys club or?
Yeah, so playing under Brian Morrison, I think. Brian Morrison was the one who brought me through Cove. He was one of my coaches for a massive chunk of my teens. Quite a important part of my football, should I say.
Yeah.
He was fantastic the whole way through.
Yeah.
Brought me in at Cove. Sort of like one of the coaches that you can go to with anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so how far the Cove side of it? Did you make your first team debut? Did you get that far?
I did against, I'm not sure if it was my debut, but the most significant game was probably against Aberdeen at Balmoral.
I remember that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Conor Bannon or whatever playing, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I couldn't name you the whole team, unfortunately.
Chasing shadows, eh?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was a good game. It was a very good game for them, probably.
So when you were younger, you were loaned out a few times to junior football and that.
Yeah.
First of all, as far as I'm aware, your first loan club was me.
I think Maud was my second.
Second.
Hall Russell was my first.
Yeah.
And then that's when I came into Maud and met the Magic Goose.
So how did you find that? Because I'm always intrigued, like young lads that play and are really good and they get spotted by teams. When they go on loan to juniors, that's normally the first time they've played adult football.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember that first sort of time where you went into adult football and you thought, holy fuck,
well, yeah,
this is different?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
In boys club football, you take the ball, you do a couple of step overs and you run.
Yeah.
Whereas probably one of my first games for Hall Russell, tried that, bang. You get absolutely wiped out because I'm sort of like the pacey player.
Yeah.
I just get wiped out every game. So I was very, very skinny before.
Yeah.
I think I used to weigh about 71, 72 kilos. So
okay.
Started going to the gym, put on a bit of beef and essentially caught up.
Yeah. Has your life always just been sports?
Pretty much, yeah. So yeah. Sports through and through. When I went to, not a lot of people know this, I actually went to boarding school in Nigeria.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Okay.
The worst experience of my life. Honestly, I can say that with my hand on my heart.
So what would that be? Teenage?
Yeah, so from 12 to 14. Yeah.
Rough? Strict?
yeah, it was very rough and strict because all my family lived here, so.
Oh, you were across here yourself?
Yeah. Well, my dad lives over there. My dad works over in Nigeria as well, but he was always working. So I was sort of just staying with my auntie and stuff like that. So,
I can't picture you boarding school, eh?
Yeah, no, I can't. No, I can't. I like my shower in the morning, my moisturiser, do my hair.
So when you were at Cove and then you started going to all the junior clubs and then the Cove, so could the Cove end because they ended the youth? Is that why you kind of left Cove?
Yeah, it was. I couldn't tell you exactly what happened. It's a mixture of being dropped and ending the youth system. They did keep a few players on.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of them doing very well for the first team as well. In goals, pal. He's doing fantastic. And then it was after COVID, I think. Then we all just went our separate ways. Some went to Highland League, some went to junior football, but we're all still like brothers from that Cove team. We're all still very, very close.
At what point did you start realising that you were saying, obviously, Cove was probably the closest you felt to the professional dream side of it. At what point did you start realising this is not going to happen? Way before it happened, or?
I wouldn't say so. It kind of hit me like a kind of brick shit, as they say.
Yeah.
Through COVID, I was training.
Just, I remember it, yeah.
Just expecting to be in that first team. But it just shows you can put in as much effort as you want into some things and they're just not meant to be.
No.
But again, you've got to dust yourself up.
Yeah.
Put yourself up and get on with it.
And then so once the Cove thing came to an end, junior football was the one for you. East End?
Yeah.
Enjoyable time?
Started off, East End was fantastic. Obviously we won the Dominoes North Regional Cup.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we beat Banks-Eddy, I think it was 2-1 we beat Banks-Eddy. The feeling we got from that was incredible.
Yeah.
To go on and win a cup in the Banks-Eddy era, for those who know about junior football, you know, there's no beating Banks-Eddy, but we beat them, went on to win the cup, and it was really interesting. All the East End lads will testify to this. At the start of the season, I was telling everybody that we're going to win a cup this season.
Yeah.
Put it into everyone's heads, saying all we need to do is beat Banks-Eddy once, and we did it. Ask anyone in that team, they will testify to that.
And then you went
and won the cup. And then we went and won the cup.
Is that like your sort of personality? Are you very like visual and manifest things? And
most definitely.
Yeah. You strike me as that sort of person.
Most definitely. I personally believe that I'm capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
To an extent. I'm not going to go up in a plane and be like, oh, I can fly.
You might.
It has its reason. I do strongly believe that I'm capable of doing anything that I'm willing to put in the work to do.
Yeah.
But it just comes off case of being slightly optimistic and just confident in your ability.
Yeah.
But having a character trait like that, you need a lot of resilience. So when you do get knocked back, you're able to dust yourself off.
Just getting knocked back by the mental health side or anything like that?
Yes. In my teens, I actually suffered from it.
Yeah.
Going out every weekend and it was a dark period, but
yeah.
It pulled myself out of it. I do strongly believe that everyone goes through mental health in some sort, and everyone can pull themselves out of it. One of the worst things to hear is it gets better, because, do you know what I mean? Like, what's going through your head is when, but you are capable of pulling yourself out of it, and it just takes time. It just takes finding something you love. Why I'm so passionate about this brand in sports, because sports is something that pulled myself out of that period.
It's huge, mate.
Absolutely huge. Having the commitment, it's just my escape, essentially.
Yeah.
Being on the pitch with a ball on my feet is, I love it.
I don't think people understand that. Like, I've said this for years, that both mental health related, two of my most hated phrases in the entire world is, one, when someone tells a man to man up.
Yeah.
And two, when people say that football and sports is only a game.
Yeah.
For me, it's not. And it's not a game, because, like you've just mentioned, people's escape is football.
Yeah.
It's rugby, it's ice hockey, it's boxing. That's their escape.
Uh-huh.
So who are you to tell someone that it's just a game?
Most definitely. And it's just the generation we live in, unfortunately. Everyone's so quick to judge people on not doing what's a status quo.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't like going out every weekend, you're automatically the strange kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way the world's going, unfortunately. Everyone needs to be more accepting of people and things. It is a very strong statement to say that, but it is a case of it. if everyone was, it's sort of like stay in your lane, mind your own business, be happy for other people,
yeah.
cheer on other people when they're doing well, don't kick someone when they're down. Everyone would be so much happier, yeah. most definitely.
I just, it blows my mind because no matter what you do in life, like...
someone's going to say something.
Yeah. And I was about to ask that next. With the grip socks and with the your social media is really good, like really Thank good you. Social media. Have you received any hate from it? And the reason I ask that is because I've obviously done the pod, I've done the Fat to Fight, and there's always someone that says something that you're just looking at the screen thinking, what the fuck have I done to deserve mm-hmm. that? Like, if you had any sort of...
I'll be completely honest, not as of yet.
No, that's good.
The people around me are quite supportive, I yeah. will have to admit, and I thank absolutely everybody for the way they've been in supporting the brand. Everyone loves to interact with the posts. Everyone loves to share. Everyone loves to order. Yeah, people have been very supportive in the grip socks. It's been fantastic. And again, I can't thank the community enough yeah. for being so supportive. The messages we get on the page
yeah.
from mums who've got it for their children, being like, he absolutely loves it. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's so good.
So is that like, see, obviously, the grip socks, the business side of it is booming and I'm proud of you for it. But what's like your buzz? Is it seeing stuff like kids buzzing off of it?
People yeah,
like,
just...
I see you smiling. Yeah, your face, yeah.
yeah, honestly, nothing will beat the feeling of...
just someone being
yeah,
happy.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, literally like a child coming up to you. Oh my God, is that those
yeah.
grip socks? You're like, whoa. You're like, whoa, would you want to take a photo? But honestly, yeah, just seeing people wear the socks just makes me happy. Yeah, genuinely seeing photos of yeah. people wearing the socks, seeing people be like, these are genuinely good. That's what makes me happy about the brand, and that's essentially is my fuel to the fire.
Love it, mate. So we spoke briefly about the football after the East End thinking, then went to Bridge on.
Yeah.
How was that?
Ah. Honestly, Bridge on is, I love it.
Yeah.
Being completely honest, it is the most disciplined I've been in my life because of the gaffer.
Lewis Muirhead is the scariest yet nice, one of the nicest so the guys you'll meet.
Honestly, Muirhead is one of the most down to earth people.
Yeah.
But just don't be an idiot. Like, honestly, just be real. Stick up for yourself. Just be tough, essentially, because you do need to be tough in yeah. sports. Easier said than done, obviously. Yeah. But Lewis Muirhead will bring the best out of you. That's a fact.
You've kind of mentioned throughout the recording already that you've kind of grown up as a person through your years, like teenage years, you sort of kicked the arse out of a little bit to the person that's sitting in front of me today, very sure of what you're saying, very confident. How did that come about? Was that certain life events or just the way your life's unfolded with like the football side of it, put under your head, things happening in your life? Is there anything you can pinpoint that's kind of, or is it just the life?
One point where I can pinpoint where things started to change. So as I previously mentioned, I was an idiot. I was going down a really, really dark path, and the only person that was going to pull myself out of it was myself. So yeah. it was a formula of taking accountability for things that I've done, stop pointing the finger, just taking responsibility for what's going on in my life. The minute yeah. I started doing that, things started to change.
Yeah.
I had a phone call with one of my mates. Essentially, I've always had this sort of like entrepreneur, this drive around me, this passion, and this always wanting to be better.
Yeah.
But that sort of fell down. And then when I got on the phone to one of my pals, he was just essentially like, what are you doing with yourself? Like, this is not you.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with you? Wise up, essentially. And he'd already got himself on the straight then. So I moved out. I was moved out at that period. So I moved back in, started speaking with him more regularly, and he helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah.
And that's taking you to where you are now as a person.
Essentially, yeah. A massive formula of heaps of different things. Obviously, the discipline that I'm experiencing now with Odd, and yeah, just the brand as well, and just the people around me. It's a formula of a lot of things. But as I say, everyone's capable of doing it.
Yeah.
It's some have it harder than others, but at the end of the day, everyone goes through something. Nobody's life's perfect.
Yeah.
And I think the perception of people living perfect lives is again something that makes it really hard for people to understand that.
Yeah, yeah. You feel like, so well, obviously I know you from when you were at Cove, and you were obviously more than myself. East End was a lot of your friends. When you moved to Bridge On, it wasn't really your friends, was it? Like, do you think that helped you as well, moving away from, I'm not saying that your friends were the ones that had you in that rough sort of period, but do you feel like moving away from your friends and going to a team that you didn't know. I feel that helps you, eh? Like, it helps me going to Huntley.
I'm still friends with everyone from East End. Essentially, every club that I've played for, I'm still in touch with a few people from there.
Yeah.
Moving to East End, to Bridget Dawn, sorry, it sort of gave me like a fresh start to be there.
Because did you know anyone?
I didn't know. I think I knew the goalkeeper, Keith Robertshaw. Yeah, big Keith. Yeah. He's the legend.
Sorry. Stay away from that guy. He'll pull you right back down.
Nah, I love Keith. I love Keith. So, yeah, Keith was the only one I knew there, but he's a goalkeeper, and obviously you're with your goalkeepers for about 10, 15 minutes of the session.
Yeah.
So my first year at Bridget Dawn, that was quite tough, trying to adapt to the team. Adapt to the new management style.
Yeah.
So adapting to a whole new setup, that was tough. But this year, it's a work in progress. We're getting there.
Is Lewis as strict as he appears? Because obviously, I've only played against him. I've had a bit of verbals with him and all that sort of stuff. Is he as strict as he appears? Or is there a softer side?
The thing is, with Muirhead, he's honest.
Yeah.
He'll tell you how it is.
Do you feel like you need that as from a manager?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I'm probably my biggest critic. I tend to criticise myself a lot more than you actually think.
Yeah.
But again, that's my fuel to the fire. But I'm quite toxic with myself.
Okay.
I'm always wanting to do better. Always feel like I'm not doing good enough.
Is that a bad thing, though?
It can be.
Yeah?
It can be. I can imagine they'll get to a point where it can be, but I'm always wanting to do better. I always feel like I'm not doing good enough. And you could say it's what's gotten me to where I am today, but...
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out in a few years' time. Find out after the break.
So I'm sitting looking at you now, right? Big handsome face, big white smile. How the fuck did you get into boxing and get that pretty little face punched in? Because I'm an ugly bastard, so it doesn't matter if I box. Yeah. But you, I'm looking at the nice chiseled face. Where did the boxing come from? You've done it for a while, eh? Yeah.
So the first white collar fight I did was... 2000, this might be wrong, about 2018.
Yeah.
Then I think...
Was that the first time you'd boxed ever? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did a fight for a year, and then I think I missed a year, and then I did the following year, and then I had my first amateur fight last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just loved it. So I can't remember how I got into it. I think I'd just seen an ad on Facebook, all white collar, and
yeah.
I had a bit of power behind the punch, yeah. Essentially, so... Signed up for the white collar, started training with Damon Buckley. That's where I met Damo.
Damo.
Yeah.
Great boy.
I think he said to me, he was like, "Have you fought before?" And I was like, "Nah, never." He was like, "Well, okay, we got some work to do here."
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got into my first fight in a boxing ring.
A legal one, yeah.
In a boxing ring, and yeah, I won.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something really funny about that fight. My mum, she is the most funniest human on this earth. So in my fight, my mum came to watch, a bit skeptical. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
So there's a point, I think just before, maybe at the end of the second or the end of the third round, you just hear my mum in the video going, Adam. Because I'm laying onto this boy, throwing left hooks, right hooks, uppercuts, jabs. And you just hear my mum screaming that. And honestly, I could watch that video back a million times.
What's that? Is that her telling you to
Yeah, like, stop. Calm down. Like, son, what are you doing? It's okay.
I've always been intrigued to know, because I've never really spoke to someone on the pod that's done football and boxing. What gives you the bigger buzz, football or boxing? Different, is it? Or is it different sort of buzzes?
It's a different buzz.
Because it's football. It's more, team and solo, isn't it?
Yeah, team and solo. Football is more long-term. Just seasons, they go on, yeah, where seasons go on from like your August to May, August to June.
Yeah.
August to April even, depends on how far you go. Boxing is sort of like, you're training up for this fight, you're training up for this fight. It can be very dangerous, because if you lose, then it's almost as if months and months for nothing. But I can say, I'd probably say football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would.
I probably agree. And the reason I think that is because I'm very much a...
Mm-hmm.
I like boxing. I like the thought of going in and whatever you do, whatever you do that night affects their outcome.
Yeah.
Whereas football, you could have a really good team game, the team lose, you're not happy. You could have an absolute beast, but the team win and you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a bigger buzz, because you're tighter. It's a big group of people.
Well, yeah, with our Bridget Dawn team this year, there's that togetherness. We're all really close this year. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
We win together, we lose together. As you say, one person can have a bad game, but when the team wins, the buzz is still there. You're also on your feet. So yeah, definitely football gives a better buzz. I think it's a lot more satisfying scoring a goal than definitely.
The first amateur fight you had, did you enjoy it? I know what happened.
I loved it. Yeah. Being honest, I'll be straight up with you guys. I lost. Okay.
Yeah. I've lost twice to everyone.
So I lost. So my record's 1-1-1.
Yeah.
The one that was a draw, very questionable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, the one that I lost, the amateur fight, it was sort of my stupidity. So the whole day was a shambles.
Yeah.
We got down to Glasgow probably around 2 o'clock. The event wasn't until 7. But they know that I got stuck in traffic.
Oh, okay.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
What are the chances? So they didn't arrive till like later on.
Okay.
So see, just guesstimating again, they probably arrived like two, three fights in.
All right. Okay.
So there's that nerve wracking there. But before the fight, I'm there totally vibing, totally chill, fully calm, just ready to get in the ring, itching to get in the ring.
Yeah.
Before I go in, Damo says to me, "Don't hold back, just go for it." But my fighting style is you move and then I move.
Yeah.
So I would say I mauled him in the first round, but in the second round, I rolled with my hands down.
Okay.
As I came back up, I don't even know if he's meant to. He's just threw a sprint.
Yeah.
To thin air, essentially, as I'm rolling. But as I come back up, I just connect with his fist.
Yeah.
That's me down, straight back up. Ref says, walk towards me, walk back. He calls it.
Oh, did he?
Questionable call, but yeah. Is what it is.
Does it bother you losing? You don't strike me as the sort of person that cares.
Nah, not necessarily.
And I think that's a lot for people that listen to this, because it's two people speaking that are very different, because people that have been in my fights, I've lost both. One was a really big one. Mate, when I lost to Pitadre, I barely spoke to anyone close to me for at least 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you strike me as someone that just doesn't care.
Well, essentially, it again comes to the people you have around you.
Yeah.
I was confident I was going to win. When I lost, everyone was like, listen, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, get on with it.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't matter. Everyone was still there for me, and I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
And the boys that were there, they were like, George, you did the best you could.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from essentially what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm really like that with a lot of people. If someone's down, I'm always there for them.
Yeah.
No matter what, I'll always stick my neck out for someone if they're down. And as I say, what goes around comes around, and luckily this one comes around. So
will you fight again?
I want to.
Yeah.
But I'm under contract, so I can't.
Contract with
Vision Dawn, so.
And so you're not allowed to fight, were you?
Yeah, boy, exactly. Like you can't play football and box.
Yeah, true. And
at a semi professional level and box. So
yeah.
Because doing that comes with missing training and missing games. So
how do you find the balance of, you've got a full-time job, you've got grip socks, you've got Bridget on. How do you find that balance? Because that's a lot of stuff there.
I wish I knew.
Yeah, you just get on with it.
Yeah, anyone who knows me will probably tell you that I'm full of energy.
You don't strike me as the sort of person that would sit on their arse for 10 minutes, eh?
I can't.
No?
I've tried. I lose my mind.
Yeah. Are you one of those you need to be busy?
Yeah, I need to be. I would say I really need to be busy. When I do nothing, I start to really stress out.
Right.
When I'm doing nothing, but I am starting to learn that it's okay to chuck Netflix on and do nothing. It's okay to chill. I've started spending a lot more time with my pals as well. When I was first starting out the brand, it was sort of like, right, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Not coming out, not doing anything, but yeah, I'm starting to prioritize relationships a lot more.
Do you feel like taking that step back has helped you carry on the business? Like, not being too involved?
Not necessarily. I do have a team of designers, a team of social media as well, marketing team as well. So that's what's helped me take a step back to be able to chill and relax. And
you've got people.
Yeah, sort of do other things. But yeah, it's... sometimes I wish I could sit and do nothing, but it's just not the person I am. And it's not like I get tired either.
No.
I'm always full of energy, walking around work, singing, doing that. But yeah, it's...
So you're very, very energetic, very confident sort of guy.
Thank you.
With the football, the boxing, the business, do you get nervous though? Because I am honestly one of the most nervous people you'll ever meet. Eh? Do you get nervous?
Most definitely. Nerves is natural. Yeah. It's science. Everyone gets nervous. You get that butterfly feeling in your stomach. It's your body essentially going into fight or flight, which then raises your senses, raises your awareness, and again, all the scientific stuff.
Yeah.
Coming in here, I was nervous. Yeah, I said to you, I was like, why do I feel nervous? But I did say, it's sort of like knowing yourself as well. It is really good to know yourself. Again, if there's one thing I can recommend that people work on, is self-awareness, most definitely. When you know yourself, you start to become a much better person.
Yeah.
You start to do so much better. But yeah, that having that self-awareness of what nerves are is definitely helpful. Going on to a football pitch, you probably like know yourself, going on to your football pitch, going into the ring, when you're away to compete, your body goes into that, what some people may think it's nerves, but it's actually fight or flight.
Yes.
Something I always tell myself is I'm actually excited.
Yeah,
and that totally changes your mindset and your viewpoint on it.
I was going to ask that, between football, boxing, and the business, what do you think makes you most nervous? Like, what do you struggle with the most?
I would say it just sort of depends on the day.
Yeah,
most definitely depends on the day. The thing that sort of makes me nervous about grip sports is sort of like the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because I'm really passionate and really confident about where I want the brand to go.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like taking the days as they come, making sure I do 1% better for the brand each day to get it to where I want to get it to. But it's a case of knowing where I want it to get it to, but not knowing exactly how that's going to happen. It's actually got a name for it. It's called the Stockdale Paradox as well. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's went straight over my head, whatever that
is. So essentially, the Stockdale Paradox is a story from the war. So there were some prisoners of war who got captured.
Yeah.
I think the guy's name was like Anthony Stockdale or something along the lines of that. So say, for example, like five prisoners were captured. Four of them kept saying, we're going to get out at Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas came and then they got disappointed. Then they said, we're going to get out at Easter. Easter came. And then they got disappointed. And they said they're going to get out of summer. Summer came, they got disappointed.
Yeah.
But this Stockdale guy, he just maintained his optimism that he was going to get out. He didn't care when it was going to be, that he was going to get out. And that's why he was the one who survived. Because the other four, they kept on getting knocked back down. And I think they ended up not making it through. But because he was so optimistic that he was going to get out, he didn't say when. He was just confident that he was going to get out.
Yeah.
That's how he made it. And again, it is a case of finding the right balance between your optimism.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something I really focus on.
You mentioned earlier on that you read a lot of books and stuff. Is that a lot of like self-help sort of stuff? Is that the kind of books you
read? Yeah, so I used to have a bad stutter.
Okay.
A really bad stutter. I don't know if you remember
I
still stutter a little bit now, but it's a case of pausing and just taking breaths when you're away to stutter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to stutter a lot, and reading's helped that a lot. I do read a lot of self-help books, most definitely,
Do you feel like that's helped you as a person?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah.
So, towards the end of the interview, the time I always try and encourage people to throw other people under the bus.
Which is
what we're going to do right now.
No, we
did. So, I've put together some teammates. And this is where we're going to hopefully get some people, so... We're going to concentrate on the football side of it.
I'm doing this with my eyes shut.
Best player you've played with?
Best player I've played with. I would say this is a bit of a weird one. Does it have to be one? Because I can't actually remember if I've played with Mitch Megison.
Yeah, Mitch is good.
But if I have, it would definitely be Mitch Megison.
Yeah.
But other than that, Conor Wood.
Conor Wood.
Outstanding.
Fraserburgh.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Oh, because he was at East End, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at East End. So it was me, Conor Wood, and Josh Bolton. We were like the striking three.
So they've went to Fraserburgh and you're still.
Yeah, I'm 18 years. All the best.
Fraserburgh couldn't afford you, that's why.
I wish that was the case.
And then on the alternative note, so people, you obviously play up front. Who's the best player you've played against?
Yeah. Defensive wise.
Just in general, like you came across on the pitch and thought, Jesus, he's good.
I would say Cammy Bowden.
Bowden's good.
But that is in training. I think there should be a scientific study on how he always wins the headers. Like, Cammy, honestly, they need a Netflix documentary on that. If you see it, genuinely. It's mental. It's honestly madness.
Yeah.
It's madness, yeah. Cammy Bowden, defensive-wise, outstanding.
Brilliant. Best trainer?
Best trainer?
Yeah. Not Regan Thompson, that's for sure. Yeah,
throw my boy under the bus.
Absolutely.
Best trainer. Ah. be honest and say myself, like, I feel I do put in the work.
Yeah.
But I can't.
You did it in mod, right? But that's, that's for a different podcast. Yeah. Future gaffer?
Future gaffer?
Yeah. Would you ever go down the gaffer route?
I would like to, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. My future gaffer.
Someone that strikes me from, I know you've played with, Craig Ritchie.
Craig Ritchie?
Craiger, that you played with at Mod and East End.
Is this who I want my future gaffer?
Or just who you think that would be, could be a gaffer in the future?
Who do I think could be a gaffer in the future? Oh, Ross Forsyth, all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he good? Is he?
Fozzie all day. Yeah.
Nice guy, yeah?
Yeah, really.
Really nice guy. Favourite goal you scored?
Oh, let me get into this. Sit back, geese. So, I remember this like it was yesterday. Cove Rangers against Bags today. This was a youth development game. We won 2-1.
Yeah.
I think it was either Connor Wood. I think it was Connor Wood who crossed the ball in. Overhead kick from the edge of the box. Hit the crossbar. Went in. Honestly, mid-flight. Ball didn't touch the floor until it went in. Came in from a corner. I just jumped. Wa-bang. Crossbar in. Out.
Was that the noise it made? Wa-bang.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit the bar. Went in. Yeah.
Wow. Last three questions, 100% time to throw people under the bus, these ones.
I don't know if
these
I can.
Are my favourites. Worst boozer.
Worst boozer?
Yeah.
As in the person who gets the most.
Who just can't handle their booze?
Me. Me, it's me. I'm going to say I can't handle it. When, you know, the times I do go out for a night out, I'm usually just hyperactive.
Yeah.
Like, so hyper.
But you don't really go out much anymore, do you?
Nah, I kind of gave it up.
Yeah.
It's just to keep my brain sharp and stuff.
Was that before the sort of business things took over, or was that?
So, it sort of like came in a change. I stopped drinking and then basically started businesses and just got my life together, started going to the gym.
Yeah.
Got a bit of weight, got a bit of muscle, and I'm here today.
So I know you've got a sister, but hypothetically, which teammate have you played with that you wouldn't let date your sister ever?
Right. I'm gonna have to say Deck. I'm sorry.
Who's that, Deck?
Deck the Mill. You ain't going anywhere near my family. I love you, Deck, but nah. No chance.
And lastly, my favourite one, you can take it whatever way you want. Who's the longest in the shower?
Longest in the shower? I don't know.
I've heard you take some time in the shower now.
I do. I'll
do
my hair in that.
Mate, it's been a pleasure to speak to you today. Everything you've done, from knowing you when you were a kid at Mod,
you were
the biggest pain in my arse I've ever met. to see you now as a person with a business and everything going on, I'm really proud of you, and I hope everything goes well. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thank you, guys.